Good morning. It's good to be with you today. I almost feel like it's been a long time since I've done anything. It's because we had a gospel meeting this last week, and I haven't been up in front having to preach, and that's been a real blessing for me to get to listen, and I know that you've been blessed to be a part of the meeting that we had this past week. Just want a few announcements before we begin our lesson. I want to talk a little bit about our meeting this week. Just very briefly, and I want to thank this congregation. It's really an honor to work with this congregation. You are so supportive of gospel preaching, and we had really good attendance all week. We had good attendance from our members. We had good attendance from the community. We had good lessons. We had six baptisms, and I want to mention these names: Tammy Young, Joe and Rona Maxedon, Violet Clack, Kylie Smith, and Garrett Dudney. And these happened throughout the week. It seemed like almost every day someone was making a decision to obey the gospel. And for that, we are very, very blessed. So if you see these folks, make sure to go up and tell them how happy you are about the decision that they've made. And welcome them to the body of Christ. I know that they must have great consolation and joy in their hearts for the decision that they have been decided to make this week. And I know that their families and everyone that's very close to them feel so blessed to be able to be a part of that. I want to also say something about Clarence and Chase. They don't stand up here in front of you as much as I do, but they work very hard. They work very hard for this congregation, as hard as me or harder than me, all the time, around the clock, for all ages of our people here at this church. And I'm so blessed to work with them. You really don't know how good they are, but on a regular basis, I get to work with them, and it's just really a pleasure to be a part of a ministry team here. Also, I'm going to mention that this afternoon, my wife and me and my kids will be headed towards Freed Hardeman. We're going to worship there tonight, and Amber will be speaking on the women's forum on Monday, and I'm speaking on Tuesday, and Clarence is speaking on Wednesday. But we will all be back, and I'll be back on Wednesday evening to teach the auditorium class. But that's something that I look forward to every year. And with Don being here this last week, and sometimes preachers get to go out and eat with preachers when they're on meetings, we get to talk about our work. And I could tell him that I'm so fortunate to work with the greatest congregation, I think, in the world. And I mean that with all my heart. This is a great, great congregation. And Don was very impressed by it, and he was very glad to be here. So it's really been a great week. In the midst of all of the things that we've also had to deal with, we've had some death. We've had some tragedy. At the end of the day, to be a member of the body of Christ, to be a child of God, is what gives us ultimate consolation. And with those things in mind, I want to talk about the value of our soul. And it was very well spoken of by Patrick this morning when he said that this passage in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking about the value of the soul. And what does he say there? He says, "What is a man profited if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, I've been thinking about what I wanted to talk about on this Sunday for the last few weeks on the other side of the gospel meeting. And at the beginning, I wanted to preach a sermon on the urgency of obedience. The urgency of obedience. And I am going to talk about that at the end of this lesson. The longer that I thought about it, I wanted to talk about more than just the urgency of making a decision to follow Christ. Ultimately, I wanted to talk about how all decisions that we make matter. And most importantly, we should never do anything, engage in any activity, put anything to be more important than God and His church, because we recognize that the kingdom is the pinnacle thing, and the Spirit is the only thing that God made in His image that is going to leave this place and move on. And we're either going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And where we are going to go is all going to depend on the decisions that we make today. So the title of this lesson is Three Things That May Cost You Your Soul. You see, Jesus taught very clearly that not everyone was going to be saved. Matthew chapter 25, remember just a few weeks ago we talked about, are you a sheep or a goat? And the idea of Jesus coming back and separating people. Some on the right hand, some on the left hand, based on their decisions, based on their choices. Jesus taught that the road to hell was wide and the road to heaven was narrow. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus even said that not everyone who considers themselves a follower of his is going to go to heaven. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And so in our passage that we looked at this morning, Jesus says that there are some people that are willing to make choices that ultimately is going to cost them to lose their soul. So we need to heed Jesus' warning. I want to consider with you three things that if we're not careful will cause us to lose our soul. Number one, possessions. Possessions. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and we'll read from there. Possessions, things, materialism, having our priorities on earthly things can cause us to lose our soul. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust corrupt, or where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves a treasure on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. Now, how driven are we materialistically? I heard this morning that a 30-second commercial during tonight's Super Bowl will cost a company, corporation, over $5 million for 30 seconds. Every single time they run it, 30 seconds. I bet you they don't want that game to go into overtime. That's another $5 million and another $5 million for this commercial. I also read that the cheapest ticket, if you want to be at the Super Bowl, and this is in the nosebleed section in the Metrodome, $3,000. The most expensive ticket, $30,000. This is true. Now, you put that in the realm of what you make on a daily basis, and you think about how people are driven with money and to spend money on moments that really aren't even very important. But it's all about priorities. It's what really means something to us. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6, there is a passage that I have preached over and over again. And in the 21st century, it's going to have to continue to be preached. Look what he says there. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Highlight that verse in your Bible, verse 8. With food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man, flee these things, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. How many people in our world today are not rich toward God? Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells the parable of the rich fool who was not rich toward God. And because of that, even though he had great possessions, all of those things were going to be taken from him in a moment. What about the rich young ruler that because he had great possessions, he could not follow Christ? The things that are in front of us, the things that we can touch, the things that we can see, the things that we can pursue, the things that give us comfort, the things that we desire, these are the things many times that dictate our activities. And because they're within our grasp, sometimes we reach for them. True story of a lady that was on the Titanic. She was one of the rich people on the Titanic, and if you know the story of the Titanic, you know that a lot of the women were the ones that actually got to go into the lifeboats. She had 3 minutes to go back to her room to grab whatever she wanted before she got on the lifeboat. You know what she went and got? She had diamonds in there. She had necklaces. She went and grabbed three oranges. three oranges. And later on, she was asked about that. And she said, well, that seemed like the only thing that was going to be useful for me at the moment. You know, all of those diamonds and all of that wealth meant nothing to her when her life was at stake. And so she grabbed three oranges. It's interesting how priorities can change in just a minute. So here in Matthew 16, Jesus says that if we were to gain the whole world, it's not worth the loss of our soul. And in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus pretty much sums it up when he says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Life is not about things. And the reason why companies want to spend $5 million for 30 seconds is because they know that the world works that way, that it is on things. And it is on possessions. And it is about the newest thing and the neatest thing that you can't get by without. And they're counting on the fact that people are willing to spend money on it so they can have creature comforts. And we live in a very spoiled world. But to have food and clothing, with these things we shall be content. The richest person on earth is a person who knows the Lord. Last night I was speaking in Bowling Green at a teacher's banquet, and the theme was, go ye into all the world. And one of the things that I said at that teacher's banquet was, we are the most blessed people on earth, and we have the most important message on earth, and it is good news, the gospel. And we should desire to take it to every corner of the globe. And it was a great theme for a teacher's banquet. But I was able to tell those people, and they were able to tell me, because we are Christians, that we would not trade our lives with any other life on the face of the earth. No matter how rich someone might be, no matter how big their house might be, no matter how good their retirement plan might be, I would rather be a poor man living in a grass hut with my family and be a member of the Lord's church. Because that's what really matters, to have the things that I need. True story about a child and a rare Chinese vase. There was a child that had gotten his hand stuck in a Chinese vase, and it was one of these priceless type of vases. And they tried to get the child's hand out, but couldn't. And they tried to pull it out, and they tried to pull it out, and of course the kid wasn't cooperating, and the child was crying, and the parents were panicked. And finally they had to break the vase. So they broke this priceless vase, and amid all the shards of the vase, the hand finally came out, and the child's hand was closed up. And when he opened it, there was a penny. There was a penny in the child's hand. He had dropped it in the vase, but to him it seemed to be of more value than the vase. And so this priceless vase had to be crushed. And it kind of reminds me of people that are holding on to the penny, when the riches of being a child of God and of being a member of the church and the spiritual things are the things that really matter. It may be possible, but the most important thing that we can have will break because we're trying to hold on to something that's just not as important. So possessions can cost us our soul. A second thing that could cost us our soul is people. One of our young people recently came forward, and we got to sit down and talk a little bit after services. And I want to say it's been an amazing couple of months, really, of people coming forward and humbly asking for prayer, saying that there are sins in their life that they need to be forgiven of, saying that they need to rededicate their life, thinking of the new year and the fact that they want this year to be better than it was last year spiritually. We've had all of these baptisms. We've had a lot of different reasons for different individuals in this congregation to come forward and ask for prayers. And it's really been inspirational. And I'm so thankful for every person who's humbled themselves enough to come forward and realize that they need prayer and they're willing to ask for prayer. But as I was talking to one of our young people who had come up, we had a discussion. He was talking about struggling with choices. And I told them, and I want to tell our young people even now, that if you're a teenager or you're about college age, the companionships and the friends that you choose over the next 5 years are going to have such a huge impact in your life that they will probably make a difference in how you're going to live the next 20 or 30 years. There is a transitional time. It's a very important time in our lives. And I remember finishing up my high school time and then all of a sudden being independent. And my parents were making decisions for me anymore. And even though I lived in my home and I had my own vehicle and I was free to come and go, and there was a curfew for a while, but we all know that we've broken curfews, right? And we don't always do everything that mom and dad say. And then eventually we move off. I can tell you that in that period of time in my life, I was the furthest away from God that I'd ever been. The reason why was because I had to develop my own faith. I was concentrating on other things like at my education and thinking about getting the job, and spiritual things as they should be were not on my mind. And at the age of 23, I ended up coming to Freed Hardeman and making that one particular choice, and choosing that is really what saved my life. But I'm telling you that the decisions that you make and the people that you choose to be around are going to make the determination on what's going to happen to you, who you're going to marry, and how you're going to raise your children, and what you're going to believe, and whether or not you're going to be true to God's word and to His church. We have people that are sitting in this assembly today, young people that are going to walk away from the Lord. And I pray for them, and I worry about them. But I know that God's word is true, and I know that if it's in them, and if we teach it to them, and if we appeal to them, and if we love them, that by the grace of God, just as God has been gracious to us, perhaps they will remain. Perhaps they'll come back when they leave Him. But people can cost you your soul. So we need to be very careful about the friends that we choose. I read in Proverbs 1, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the lives of its owners." It's interesting what the writer there in Proverbs says, is that if you set a trap for a bird when the bird's watching, he won't go on the trap. But you see, a trap is being set for you that you're not looking for. That's how the devil works. And he'll use people that seem friendly, people that seem like they're worth your time, but they'll pull you away from God. And ironically, the very person who's writing this, his heart was pulled away from God by foreign wives that he wasn't supposed to have. And so the reality is that people can, and relationships can, cause us to lose our souls. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, Paul says, evil companionships corrupt good morals or good habits. And we need to have more respect for God than we do for men. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 28, "Don't fear the one who can kill the body, but fear the one who can deliver both body and soul into hell." Don't fear men, fear God. And there are some relationships that humans engage in that are just not approved of by God. And because of that, they must be terminated. One of the things that people get really mixed up in is defining love. They define love as emotion and desire more than choosing what is right, more than agape love, which always thinks of others. The love of the world is a selfish love. The love of the world is a fleshly love that thinks about the moment, thinks about the needs of today, thinks about the desires of the flesh and not the desires of God. It makes me think of even Peter, who said to Jesus about his crucifixion, "Lord, far be it from you for this ever to happen to you." And you remember what Jesus said? "Get behind me, Satan, because you are not mindful of the things of God. Instead, you are mindful of the things of men. Peter, I know what you want, but what you want is not what God wants. And God in His eternal love has chosen for me to go to the cross." And you'll understand this later on, that love is about giving, and love is about sacrificing. And love isn't about me. It's always about the other person and what's best for them. But the world's love is a selfish love. And the world's love will say that this relationship is something that I deserve, even when it's forbidden. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the church there is dealing with the problem in which there is a relationship going on in that church that needs to be dealt with. And Paul says, that it's a shame that you're not doing anything about it, that you think it's okay that this relationship is continuing to go on even though it's sinful. And he says in verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that when you are gathered together as a church, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And he goes on to say, a little bit of leaven, leaven's the whole lump, so you have to purge out the leaven. What are you saying is one bad apple spoils the whole bunch? If you allow sin to exist in a holy environment, it's going to wreck that environment. And therefore, you have to choose what is right. And you even have to go and discipline this individual who's in a relationship that's going to cost them their souls. It's not representative of the things of the Lord. I think of another passage here, actually right here in this same passage in verse 9. He says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean with the people of the world, the sexually immoral people of the world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters. Since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is a fornicator, covetous, idolater, reviler, drunkard, extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. What is Paul saying? He's saying when a person knows the will of God, and when they refuse to do the will of God, and they want instead to accept it, and for everyone else to accept it in a social way, it's not something that God is going to approve of. We have to make distinguishing choices between that which is right and that which is wrong. And it's always wrong to do wrong, and it's always right to do right. In this particular case, the church actually had to do something because what these two individuals were involved in was going to cost them their souls. And so Paul pled with them to do so. Now, later on in 2 Corinthians, he says, when this person repents, you bring them back, and you love them, and you move on from that. Because we all sin, and we all struggle. And notice he says here, when I told you not to keep company with immoral people, I wasn't saying don't ever talk to anybody that you see out in the world, because that would be impossible, wouldn't it? Because this world is full of sin. It's full of immorality. And we're supposed to be lights in a dark place. But what he's saying is when we know better about relationships, when we know God's will, then we need to make choices that are right. And we cannot allow any relationship to cost us our soul. But sometimes we talk about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and sometimes preachers are asked to preach on that concept. And we all know that we wish that there was never such a thing as divorce. We all know that we wish that every single marriage would last for a lifetime, just as God had intended for it to be. Sometimes that doesn't happen. And I guess sometimes when you ask the preacher to preach on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, what you really want to know is, what are the rules? What are the rules that I need to abide by to make sure that I'm within the will of God? Because I'm very, very interested in that. And I think that's important because we need to know what God's will is so that we can follow it. If he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, you would have to know what his commandments are, wouldn't you, before you could keep them? But you know what I think that issue is really all about? I think it is that there is no temporal relationship that is worth spending an eternity in hell. And so when we think about the nature of relationships and the possibility of the relationships that we may have in the future, and if our marriage does break, and if we look at the possibility of entering into another relationship, we have to constantly ask ourselves, do I want this more than I want to spend eternity with the Lord? And if the answer is yes, then no matter what the rules are, we're not going to make a very good decision. God always has to be first. His will always has to be first. We always have to love Him supremely, and that has to be on our mind at every moment of the day. Don't allow any person to cost you your soul. A last thing that may cost you your soul is priorities. So there's possessions, and there's people, and there's priorities. Now, I believe that everybody that's assembled here today wants to do the will of God. If you didn't, you wouldn't be here, and you wouldn't be listening to this sermon. And you wouldn't say to yourself, when the Bible is opened and the preacher preaches, I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to find out what God's will is for my life. I think that's why you're here. And so there's a huge responsibility on whoever speaks, whether it's a gospel meeting preacher last week or me or Clarence or Chase or anyone else that might come up here and teach a lesson. It's a huge responsibility on us to tell you exactly what God's will is so that you can follow it. I really believe that you're here for that. You're here to worship God. You want to do God's will. We're all sinful. We're all working through things. We're all works in progress every single day. But I think priorities are important. And we need not to put off doing today what needs to be done. Over the years, we've talked about Super Bowl Sunday. You know, this is a kind of a tough one. I'm not wanting to offend anybody here. But we live in a world that worships the creature rather than creator. And I guess if we didn't have 6 p.m. services, it wouldn't be any kind of issue. When I was living in California, it was a different time because it was 2 hours earlier back there where the services would be different. It was earlier, later, and later than earlier. And I remember we would never see the end. We would only see the beginning of the Super Bowl. You come back here, you never see the beginning, you see the end. You know, that's if you come to worship. But a lot of people, the last thing on their mind is even thinking about assembling with the saints tonight. It's way somewhere out of their mind because they've already made plans to watch a ball game. And I'm not going to camp here because that's not important to camp about the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is just one thing. I'm just making a point that we are in love with sports and they are a temptation. And our priorities are something that are always going through their mind. You know what? I have never watched a live Super Bowl all the way through. You know the reason why? Because every single time there was a Super Bowl going on, I knew a place where saints were meeting, and my conscience would just not allow me to do that. Because I knew instead I could be with the Lord's people. And I knew even now that there are things like DVR and other things, but if I didn't watch the game, if I never saw the game, it wouldn't matter. It's just a game. But tonight, in a few hours, it's going to be the only thing that matters on the face of the earth to a lot of people. It's just a game. And I'm just talking about priorities. It goes beyond money and people. It's spelled out in daily things that we make the purpose of our lives. Like, will anybody miss us when we die? Will we have done things in our life that were meaningful, that were spiritual, that were eternal, that influenced the difference in where people were going to go when they die? And what fruit are we bearing to God? Is our life worthwhile to God? In John chapter 15, God says that whoever doesn't bear fruit will be cast off and thrown into the fire. And we need to understand that priorities do have to do with the urgency of obedience, which I mentioned at the beginning of this lesson and I'm closing with now. There is an urgency for obedience. In Acts chapter 16, where you have the Philippian jailer and his family, you remember, he washed the stripes of Paul and Silas, and he heard a message of God's word, and that was given to their family. There's something very important that's said in that passage in verse 33, where it says, and straightway, or immediately, or that very same hour, he and his family were baptized. Why? You know, every single time that we read about the gospel being proclaimed in the Bible, and people believing it, it says that immediately they were baptized. Why? Because there is a certain urgency in obedience. It's not safe, is it, sometimes, to go outside of our door. We don't know what's going to happen. Some was not safe even to come into church services where someone's taken away in an ambulance. This is real, folks. This is what I'm talking about. This is life. Yesterday I got a call from Lawrenceburg. A dear friend of mine passed away suddenly without any kind of warning. And the family is devastated. The point that I'm making is simply this. Why are you tarrying? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Don't allow other priorities, other things, to cost you your soul. Robert Moffat said that we'll have eternity to celebrate every victory, but only one short hour before sunset to win those victories. And this is that hour, this is that time. And we need to make sure that we're right with the Lord. Don't allow anything to cost you your soul. If you're not a child of God today, make the decision to obey the gospel of Christ. Don't let any relationship, don't let any pursuit that's out there in the world cause you to lose your soul. We've had such an amazing week, and what I think about is what really matters. This last week has been a reminder of what really matters. And it's a most amazing thing in the world to be a child of God. And you can be one as well. If you need to be baptized this morning, if you need to ask for the prayers of the church, we invite you to make that the most important thing. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?